This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our great hope and ambition to move beyond just talking about Christianity to walking with Christ. This can seem easy to do, but sometimes in our later years, it gets very difficult. And one reason is we run out of funds and we're just running from one job to the next, maybe from pill bottle to pill bottle and paying bills and trying to survive. We've got some answers for you. Now, this program, I'm giving it the title of an excellent book, Retire Inspired. That's a book by Chris Hogan. Chris is a financial coach with Dave Ramsey Ministries. He's one of their personalities. He loves to teach about retirement. He and Dave team up on this, doing seminars. And Chris, thank you for being with us today.
Well, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
What an important topic. When you think about the way people today live longer lives than they used to in the early 1900s, and how many people there are who are retiring unprepared. Do you mind, Chris, if we start off, though, before we dive into the topic, tell us about yourself a little bit and how you got interested in this whole area of research.
Sure, sure. Well, I was born and raised in Kentucky. Ended up playing football there, a little private Baptist school, Georgetown. And then from there went on to Pennsylvania to graduate school, completed my master's degree, and was coaching around young people, again, trying to shape lives to help them grow. And then I got into the financial world of banking, then later into mortgages and then wealth building. And so for me, it's always been about being around people. I was the product of incredible coaches throughout my life, starting with my parents, my grandparents, my uncles, then great athletic coaches along the way that really kind of helped shape me. And so for me, it was one of those things that I knew early on that people matter. And I knew regardless of in my career, the path I chose, I knew I wanted to be around people. I wanted to try to impact people like these people that had done for me in my life. And so in the financial world and being in the around money, you start to see some things. There are some definite trends that happen and unfortunately keep repeating themselves. And I remember in the banking days early on, people coming in seeking for the bank to help solve their financial problem in the form of a loan or in the form of whatever it is the bank was pushing. And then lo and behold, you'd look up 5 to 6 months later and the people would be back in the same or even worse predicament. So for me, I knew something had to change. And that's where I had an opportunity to cross paths with Dave. I really got to know more about him and his heart, and later had an opportunity to join the team. And so being a part of Dave's team, now I feel like I'm educating and empowering people to really push forward, to understand how money works, but above all, to understand that God owns it all. And so we're supposed to be good stewards, which means being a good manager. And so you can't manage anything you're not aware of. And so helping people plug into this and understanding more about how money works allows them to build and shape their financial futures.
Chris, I would imagine that this kind of teaching is all the more important today. Even just going back 10 years, the economy has changed, hasn't it? And the ability for people to easily retire with enough of a nest egg to get through the end of their life, it's becoming more difficult. Tell us kind of what shifted.
Well, it is difficult. You're absolutely right. The economy out there is fluctuating and the markets can change based on, someone hiccuping the wrong way. And so in a volatile kind of market like that, I think it causes people to lose faith, to lose hope in those markets. But I want people to understand first and foremost that they have to control their actions. I tell people all the time, Bill, that it's less about the national economy and it's more about our own personal economies.
That's good.
That we need a spending plan. We need a debt elimination plan in our homes. And if all of us will do that in our own home, then we can start to see changes not only in how we interact with money, but also how we're able to give and do for other people that are in need.
Chris, I love the way in your book, Retire Inspired, you focus first not on the idea that we need a certain amount of money, but that we should be pursuing our dreams. Can you unpack that a little bit?
Yes, sir. You know, when I first started with Dave, I was a financial coach, and I was sitting down with people and helping them with their budget, helping them with their debt. And it was one of those things that later, as I got more experience as a coach and got more wisdom, I figured out that there's something that can motivate people more than just fear and the numbers. And it's our dreams. Mm-hmm. Those things deep down inside of us that we want to be able to do for our families, the things we want to do for the members of our church or our community, those are things that are driven by passion. And passionate people can make things happen. And so for me, in talking about their financial future, I always lead in with the dream. I want to tap into that because when people get motivated by their dreams, they know they're chasing something that's personal to them. They're more apt to stay plugged into the process and follow the steps.
So retirement to you, and boy, I love this, is not an ending like a last chapter. It's a beginning. It's the opening of the most exciting part of our lives if we've just got basic health. And most of all, a sense of that dream you're talking about what life can be. Talk, Chris, about what happens typically when people retire and how you're trying to get them beyond that.
Well, typically when people are retiring, they're going into it unprepared in several areas. First, they're unprepared mentally for this because they've been working a job or career for X number of years. Emotionally, they're not prepared because they may have been getting their identity or have relationships in the workplace and not have many outside of there. And then financially, oftentimes people too often will look at age 65 as that age at which they can retire. And unfortunately, they're leaning on or depending solely or primarily on Social Security. And Social Security, as I talk about in the book, is not meant to take care of everything for everyone. It was simply meant to be a supplement for people that also had pensions to go to. And pensions simply are where companies would put money away for their employees, and employees didn't have to worry about it. Well, nowadays, those days of pensions are long gone. And so now if we don't put away money, if we don't save money for retirement, we're not going to have any money to spend later. And so I want people to kind of begin to really pull back and look at this and understand this is a process. And the best years of your life, imagine waking up and going to do the things you want to do. You know, for me, it's an opportunity to spend time at a Shriners Hospital or a children's ward or go by a retirement home and spend time with people that maybe don't have family. That gets me excited thinking about being able to do those things and whatever else God calls me to do. But I need to get out of my own way. I don't want to hinder me from reaching my dreams. I want to help me get there sooner and quicker. So I have to follow a plan that actually works.
Chris, I think the need to have a plan is accentuated by what you unpack in your book about the changes that have occurred in the last 100 years. For example, you mentioned the retirement age based on Social Security of 65. Tell us a little how all that began and why things are different today than when the system of Social Security was first instituted.
Well, the system of Social Security was essentially meant, this came essentially around Depression era, to be able to supplement and to be able to help people be able to have a little bit more to take care of basic life needs. And they also had their pensions that companies put money away for them. And so they didn't have to really worry about much. They could just focus, do their job. When retirement came after 25, 30 years, they could ride off into the sunset. Well, the days of pensions are gone. And now the onus is really on us with our 401ks or 403bs and retirement plans to really put money aside. And so in looking at this and truly understanding, the average Social Security payout right now, it's all based on how much you put in. But on average, it's $16,000 a year, which equates to around $1,333 per month. Now, the average mortgage payment right now in the United States hovers between $1,200 and $1,400 a month. The average new car payment's around $520 a month. And the average used car payment's around $425. And so you look at this and you see, based on these average payments that we have, what Social Security pays out can't take care of all of those things. And we haven't even got to food or health care or anything like that for our kids. And so I think it's a wake-up call for America. That was my goal for doing the book, because I wanted people to see this for what it is, but then also understand that it's never too late. And Bill, that's one of the things I really want to emphasize to your listeners. Okay. A lot of people hear this information and they feel bad about what they haven't done. They feel guilty about what they didn't take care of earlier on. And I want people to understand that you may not be where you want to be, but you're not done yet. If you woke up with breath in your lungs, you still have an opportunity to make a difference in your life and the life of others.
And Chris, part of what I wanted to also just bring out that, again, in your book, you mentioned this, it's really good, but when Social Security was set into place, that whole concept, and right after the Great Depression, 1930s, people lived till they were 65. That was the average life expectancy. Mm. So the government planned very wisely, hey, we can take this money in and we're not going to pay much out. But now with medical improvements and so forth, we're living men to about 78, average women 81. And so suddenly the system's being drained. And we know, of course, the government likes to pull some of the money to feed other programs out of the Social Security system as well. So we're all in trouble if we depend on that, aren't we? If we depend on Social Security to get us through to the end, we're going to run out.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And you're right. With the life expectancy increasing, medical technology increasing, we've got a system that essentially was built in the 30s. And now as we sit here in 2016, we have many more people. People are living much longer. And so you can see the candles burning at both ends. And the last thing I want is for someone that has worked hard all their life to be able to get to this age where they're able to do the things they want to do, and then they're counting on Social Security only to have the rug pulled out from under them. I know people have worked hard and are working hard. What I want them to do is to be able to have something that counts. All of us have this desire to be able to give and do for other people. I think if we can get focused and control lifestyle, to understand that debt is a thief, that it steals from our income, it steals from our future possibilities. If we can wake up and look at that now and make some small necessary changes, we can improve our results. We can change the way this thing is playing out right now, but we have to wake up and get in tune today.
So, Chris, Dave Ramsey wrote an excellent foreword to your book, and he talks about, I think there were 10 simple steps. He's reminding us of some of the real basics of the ministry. Can you go back over that ground just real quickly, and then we'll get into the whole debt issue, but what are some of the basic building blocks we should all put into place if we're even going to begin talking about retirement?
Absolutely. Well, you know, having been here with Dave and teamed up with him, it has been absolutely a privilege. What we wanted to do was let people know that, you know, the book he did years ago, Total Money Makeover, where he unpacked the baby steps, the seven steps,
those are foundational. Okay.
And so for me, what we wanted to do was to help people understand those are always going to be foundational steps. And so he did the foreword to the book and unpacked the seven baby steps, which is number one, get that $1,000 emergency fund. Baby step two is to attack debt smallest to biggest with the debt snowball. Baby step three is once you get out of debt, then help build up a bigger emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses. And then from there, you start to invest 15% of your household income. And then to begin to save for college, then pay off the mortgage, and then build wealth and give. And so those seven baby steps are always going to be foundational and core to what I'm talking about with Retire Inspired.
So we don't depend on Social Security. The government kicked in the 401k plan back in, what, the 1980s, was it?
I do believe, yes, sir.
Yeah, and so I was a little shocked to read statistics that you listed about the average 401k, you know, in other words, people move into retirement and there's very little there in terms of the savings to live on. Talk about that a little bit.
I was shocked as I started to dig into this about 3 or 4 years ago and really started to do my research. As a financial coach, I was sitting with people and trying to help them get ready for retirement, helping them unpack their dreams. And so in looking at this, it was kind of startling. You know, that 52% of people have less than $10,000 saved in their 401k.
That's not enough to buy a used car, you know? Hardly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How do you live on that?
And the thing about it, Bill, that really shocked me was the way people viewed their 401k. A lot of people were looking at the 401k as an emergency fund. And so you're right. They were pulling it out to buy vehicles or pulling it out to take vacations. And, you know, and looking at the rules and understanding this, when you pull money out of a 401k, you lose 50% of it. So if you pull out $50,000, you're only going to see about $25,000 because you're going to get hit with 50% in penalties and fees. And then you're going to also have another potential tax situation because that money you did pull out and you received has to be counted as income because the money came out pre-tax. That's a 401k. And so it's a big issue. A lot of people were getting themselves in trouble, and I wanted them to look at this, see it for what it was, so they could avoid some of those pitfalls.
Yeah, really good. Okay, so some of us are listening right now and saying, I don't know, Carissa, if I'm ready for retirement. Give me kind of a blueprint for what it means to be ready. You're telling me I need to have a dream. I should be out of debt, so I'm going to need to hear more about that. Do I need to have a certain amount of money put aside?
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, in debunking the biggest myth is that age 65 is the time that everyone can retire. That was the thing I really wanted to challenge, especially as I was meeting people that were a lot younger than 65 that had reached their financial number. And so my goal was to be able to help people understand or get a better idea of how much they're going to need. So I developed a free tool called the RIQ, the Retire Inspired Quotient, which helps boost people's IQ on retirement, literally, because you get a better feel for how much you're going to need. Now, it's a ballpark number. Obviously, I want people to go sit down with an investment professional to really dig into and look at how much they have and where they are. But when people have a better idea of how much they need using the RIQ by pre-assessment, they were getting more engaged with the process. And so I think once you have awareness of how much you're going to need, I want you to go sit down with an investment professional, but I also want you to take some more steps. I want you to start to get on a budget. I want you to tell money where to go instead of wondering where it went. We all work hard. I want us to look at debt like for what it really is, and that's a thief, that it steals away from my family and it steals away from my future. And so if I can get people to plug in and see those three kind of things of understanding their number with the RIQ, if they can get them on a budget, if I can get them aware of debt, and then talking to an investment professional, now you have someone that's engaged, educated, and ready to do something for themselves.
Very good. Very good. So some people hearing this are going to say, give me that retired, inspired quotient. I'm going to go ahead of it. I want to have plenty to live on and serve well in my later years. Others are going to, as Christians, maybe some will say, look, I remember this parable of Christ, in which he talked about the man who stored up all the stuff in his bin, this treasury of grain, a picture of money for me, you know, and he warned that it didn't last. And, you know, what do you have left that your soul's required of you? And Chris, is Jesus warning us, don't be saving up?
I don't believe so. And looking at it and having studied and grown up in the church, what I think is that, you know, number one, our Lord and Savior came here not to be served, but to serve. And it took resources for him to travel around and to meet people and to be able to take care of people that were in need. I think we're called to serve as well. I think when we hear of a widow in our community or someone dealing with a tragedy or a tough life situation in our church, I think we're called to help those individuals. And money, when we've saved up and done things the right way, is the most immediate thing that we're able to give them outside of our presence and obviously our prayer. And so to be able to serve, for us to be able to help with wells in Africa, to be able to help with the sex trafficking crimes, the little girls that are being mistreated or elderly people that are being mistreated, I think for us to be able to live appropriately, to be able to take care of our household, to be able to be focused, allows us to be able to give with money. And so I don't want people to make money the primary thing. I want us to look at it for what it is, and that's simply a tool. Just like a hammer and a screwdriver to a carpenter, it allows them to build some things. Well, I think with us saving money and treating money the right way and looking at it for what it is, when we work it right, when we have the right tools and the right mindset with money, we can also build some things. We can build physical things for people that are in need, but we can also build our dreams. We can start to do the things that our hearts always desire.
Chris, that's such a great answer, and I agree with you. I think Christ was speaking against a heart attitude of greed and selfishness. And
yes, sir.
The question around greed is not how much money do I have, it's how much does it have of me. And so if we're caught up in just the money thing because we're greedy, we're going to be greatly disappointed when we meet the Lord and realize that's all gone and our heart was wrong and we didn't serve. But with what you're talking about is getting our hearts right with God and saying, now, Lord, how can I give you my very best? And once we get that attitude, for the average person, careful retirement planning is a big part of it. So that, so we're free to serve.
It really is. And I think it goes back to what you and I were saying earlier, is that number one, we have to have this understanding that God owns it all. There are no personal pronouns in our life. He owns our time, our talent, as well as our resources. That includes our money. And when your heart gets that way and you look at yourself as a steward to work to become a good manager of those resources that you've been blessed with, then that helps to keep your heart in the right place. Mm. And so now it's a matter of using it to give him the glory, not trying to give yourself the glory and the honor.
Yeah. Okay, so probably many people listening right now, and I'm just thinking about you, that one person who's listening, they're struggling with, how can I get there when I'm barely able to put food on a table? I've got a lot of credit card debt. I've got payments in my car, which is breaking down, by the way. I've got house payments, whether it's a rental or paying off a mortgage. And I've got all these other problems. My job is not secure. Chris, give us some inspiration about how we can take control of our lives with the help of God and begin turning that debt problem around.
Well, I would tell those individuals that were listening that I understand where you are. I've coached people right in that spot. And the first thing I'm going to encourage you to do is to obviously make sure that your faith is in our Lord and Savior, you have that as your rock solid, because that's an unchanging hand for you to be connected with. Mm. Next, I'm going to encourage you to go back and look at some basic things. I know you're working hard. Now I want you to make your money work hard for you. Mm. And that's getting to the point of a budget. Sitting down, literally writing down your expenses, understanding where you're spending money, finding out where you can cut back in some areas. I can tell you the obvious ones as a financial coach for over 12 years, eating out, food, entertainment, gifts. These are all things that people can tend to overspend on. Then I'm going to encourage you to start to pray and think about ways you could bring in extra income. What are some things that you can do? Some obvious low-hanging things are having a yard sale. We've got so much stuff in our homes that we can barely close garage doors. Mm. So begin to have a yard sale to earn some extra money. Start to reach out and look in your area if there are some part-time jobs you might be able to plug in on to be able to throw that extra money toward debt. Because when you get out of debt, you're going to give yourself a raise because you're going to be able to keep more of that money. And so, you know, above all, as you start to plug in and work, maybe you need to sit down with a financial coach. Maybe you need someone to help you. I would encourage people, they can look at the financial coaching options at DaveRamsey.com and find out if there's a coach in their area or someone they can talk with by phone. But you can do this. I've seen single moms and single dads that were in much worse shape, but when they changed their attitude, when they changed their actions, this is when they started to take control of their future.
So we get our mindset right, and then we can develop a plan and then put it into action, and over time, we conquer debt, and we begin truly saving, and we find ourselves free, more free to serve God, free not to be a burden to others. Thank you. This is so inspiring. So you've actually seen, Chris, people get the right mindset and get out of debt.
Oh, I've seen it time and time again. And I'm most encouraged when I'm traveling around the country speaking or at a book signing, and people come tell me their story, because that's encouragement for me. Because they all said that they didn't think they could, but when they started to focus and take the right actions daily, they could do it. Now, I want to encourage your listeners to understand this. If it's taken you 10 to 15 years to build up this debt, please don't think you're going to get out of debt overnight. Mm. Please don't think that you can do it in a week or two. It's going to take a mindset. But I firmly believe, on average, I've seen people either reduce or significantly reduce or eliminate their debt within 12 to 18 months of credit card debt. Now, it depends on how much you have.
Yeah.
But when people take that step forward, they get encouraged and they start to run faster because they can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Chris, you mentioned getting some financial counsel. For example, we look at credit card debt. There are ways to disperse that and get out of the high interest rates and so forth. Who should someone go to if they're looking for some particular counsel on an area of their financial life, or maybe the whole picture? You know, someone help me. Where do they go?
Yes. Well, I can tell you this. If you're trying to battle debt or learn how to budget, our financial coaches that I train are all around the country. And if you go to DaveRamsey.com and click on financial coach, you'll be able to locate a coach in your area or one you can connect with by phone. If you're looking at the investing side and you're wanting someone to review your 401k or give you some guidance on investing, we have endorsed local providers all around the country. These are professionally licensed individuals that do business the way that we teach. They do things the right way. And so if you need to find one of those, I want to encourage you to go to my website, chrishogan360.com, and click on ELP, and you'll be able to find one there. I made it a little bit easier for people. When they go to the RIQ, which is also on my website, chrishogan360.com, once they do their RIQ, they can immediately click on locate an ELP in their area, and they can fill that out right there, and someone will be in touch with them. This is someone that has the heart of a teacher. They're not trying to sell you stuff. They're trying to help you get to where you said you wanted to go.
Excellent. Chris, as we close out, give us a final word of encouragement or inspiration that's on your heart.
Well, thank you so much for your time. As I close, I just want to remind people this. Where you are right now does not have to be where you end up. I'm going to repeat that because people need to hear that. Where you are right now does not have to be where you end up, but it's all going to be a result of our attitude, our actions, and our choices. And so I want to encourage people out there today to take control of your money. Start to take one step forward in your actions and your thinking, because one step forward, my friends, is called progress.
Well, you've been listening to Chris Hogan. I'm Bill Campbell. Get Chris's book, Retire Inspired. Chris, I assume we can just get this on Amazon. Is there a better way?
They can get it on Amazon. They can get it at my website, chrishogan360.com, or okay, on Dave's website at daveramsey.com.
Okay. And we will see you all next week. And God be with you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.